It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, presented by G2G Bars, the preservative-free refrigerated protein bar that's going to change your life. Fills you up better than anybody else. You're going to love this thing. G2G Bars. Go to their website. Check them out. Local company, small batches, and preservative-free. Like I said, you're going to love these things, man. Let's get into the program here, Scott. I was just watching the walk-off. I watched it last night, and my kid and I were... I found myself cheering at the Little League World Series. It hasn't started up yet. These are all regional tournaments.
Yes.
But the team out of Santa Clara, Utah, Snow Canyon Little League, got a shout-out now from Donovan Mitchell today who said, oh, shout-out to Snow Canyon.
You know it.
You're going to get a lot of Utah love out of Donovan Mitchell right now.
That's not
really
true.
Much. Like, no, you're just not getting a lot of anything of substance out of Donovan Mitchell's Twitter page, but he threw a shout out to the folks down there in Santa Clara. They were in San Bernardino and they're now in the finals. So I think if they win this next one, they walked it off though. And it was so fun to watch. And I was like, I got like chills watching it. We were like, whoa, yeah. They walked it off. They got the win over Henderson, Nevada. So if they win one more, they go to the College World Series.
I mean, so Nevada and Montana are playing each other.
Nevada and Montana are
playing each other to see
who's going to play Utah.
The winner of the Utah.
And now Utah's undefeated in theirs, and yes. So do they have to...
They have to win two.
They have to just win once, but the other team has to win twice.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. This is really good. It's good stuff, man. Gotta love it. Let's jump into the program here at the top of every hour. We give ourselves a little bit of music, get things pumped up and started. We call it The Cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of The Cut. Okay, Scott, let's do it. Let's debate whether or not some of these things are true or not true. Now, we had kind of had this discussion about where teams are going to be on the AP poll versus the coaches poll. Reminder, BYU, in terms of receiving votes, would be about 28th. Utah was 8th on the coaches poll list.
Mm-hmm.
John Wilner out of the Bay Area.
The one who broke the story of USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12.
He throws out his top 25 list as he voted. He's an AP voter, and he said, here's my list. Now, this comes out next week, but I think that there are a lot of things that I think we see going on here that John Wilner sees too. Some stuff that I'm like, what on earth are you talking about? So let's look at John Wilner's top 25 AP poll, because I think there's, like I said, some of these are going to be, and when you get the East voters, you don't know what you're going to get. But his top four are Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. Okay. Anything there?
No.
Now, here's the one that's a little bit of a shock to me, but whatever. Notre Dame, number 4. Then he has Utah at 5, A&M at 6. I put Utah in that 5-6 range as well for when this thing comes out. Oklahoma, Michigan, Clemson, Cincinnati. There is your top 10. USC chimes in on the AP poll at number 11, Scott, ahead of Oregon even, who's at 16. The unearned props that USC keeps getting going higher. And
what's interesting
wild.
With USC and Oregon is USC has the skill. Like I think the quarterback, you know, everyone feels Caleb Williams amazing. Of course, they've got Travis Dye, who was a very good runner at Oregon, who transferred. And Addison, the wide receiver, Jordan Addison, and others. But they don't have the upfront people. And Oregon has all the upfront people. Like front seven, offensive line. Oregon is a very good football team. But the quarterback position is a question mark. Bo Nix, probably going to be the starter. And Bo Nix has been up and down and all over the place. I mean, Bo Nix feels like he could be the next Jake Bentley transfer of the SEC, like what happened at Utah. He potentially could be that guy. He could be an absolute train wreck, or he could be, you know, a guy that maybe is more in line with like a Cam Rising. And you don't know. And so it's just up in the air. And you don't know if all the skill guys at USC are actually going to pan out if they're not that good up front or that good defensively.
I think that,
you know, Lincoln Riley's not known as a defensive coach.
No. Yeah, and that's going to be the big hole, right, where I think everybody's kind of wondering what's going to look like. We love all the additions that have come in. The AP voters are going to love all the new additions that have come in.
I mean, the Pac-12 in its media day and the media that covers the Pac-12 was not high on
USC.
Was not high on USC. Much higher on Oregon.
Let me see here, because the rest of the list is pretty interesting, too. I'm offended by how high Notre Dame is. I'm offended by how high USC is.
Notre Dame is a national treasure, Alex. You need to just accept this. I didn't want to accept it, embrace it, or anything.
The only thing you embraced about it was is that you decided to agree with me that they are definitely the snootiest of all college football programs in all the country. And guess what? They don't even have anything to be snooty about right now because they haven't won a national championship since 1988. BYU and Notre Dame have both won national championships in the 80s. That's the last time they did it.
So, but there's a tradition. They're the foundation. They're the start of all of college football.
No, huh?
I'm just telling you, I'm not the one writing this stuff. I'm not the one.
Since when are you a shill for Notre Dame?
I'm not.
Who got to you?
No one's got to me.
Did the Pope get to you, Scott?
No. I'm telling you, like, I could never figure it out. I was of an opinion Notre Dame is going to end up in a conference, and I don't believe they are. I don't believe they'll ever allow themselves to end up in a conference. And I believe that college football will be okay with that. Like, they won't go, yeah, Notre Dame. And I really believe that Notre Dame believes that they are everyone's university. That it's impossible for Notre Dame to be a part of just and limit itself to a conference. And maybe it's just in football, and, you know, maybe these other sports need it, but football doesn't just, you know, it just doesn't need it. And so, yeah, I don't care about Notre Dame. I don't like Notre Dame.
But you know what their spot is.
But I know, I understand why Notre Dame ends up at number 4 in the country.
Yeah.
Even though we all know they're way overrated. But they're going to be there.
That's all I'm saying.
So just accept it.
Well, a tradition unlike any other. Also, USC being rated too high. Let me see here, though, because John Wilner, the first thing when I see a list like this, I go, okay, where did he put some of these teams? Texas, to his credit, not on the list. Didn't make his AP top
25.
Didn't
even make his top 25.
Good. Wow. You know what that means? This poll immediately has credibility. So USC's 11. Baylor, future Big 12 opponent of BYU, is at 12. Florida's 13. Very interesting.
Florida should not be at 13.
They should not.
I hope I don't eat those words.
No, but listen. I love it because guess what's going to happen? If Utah, you want this though, Scott.
I understand.
Dude, you got to have it. You got to have it on there. And you know what? These the AP poll, you go into that first game of the season and you go, well, I don't have any control over this, but we have a tiny number 5 next to us, and Florida's got a tiny number 13 next to them. Is it going to end up that way? I don't think so. But even if those votes get into the point and enough people feel that same way that they end up being number, I don't know, 18, 19 on a poll or maybe even 23, heck, make them ranked. Let's see Utah go in and beat a ranked Florida team at their place. Looks better. And it gives more credence to what Paul Feinbaum said at the beginning of our show. If Utah wins that game against Florida, they have a clear path. Not to the Rose Bowl, not to the Las Vegas Bowl, to the college football playoff.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
BYU's 20 on the list, by the way. John Wilner's AP top 25. I think you're going to see BYU in the top 25 of the AP poll. I hope you do. I think they deserve to be in there. Oklahoma State's 19. That's probably low for them. Oregon's 16, like I said. And it rounds out with... And another Pac-12 team sneaks in at 25, UCLA.
UCLA,
hold on a minute. That's one that you and I have kind of believed in a little
UCLA bit. UCLA is an interesting team in that 8 home games, very soft schedule to start with. The first hard game they're going to have all season is when Utah comes to UCLA, I believe, on the 8th of October. So they're gonna, if they end up on the AP poll, they're gonna be a fast riser, and they may be overrated. I don't know how good UCLA really is, but they're certainly a team that's gonna be in the mix.
Other teams of note, future Big 12 team Houston, number 15, Cincinnati. That's a high number for a team that was in the college football playoff last year, but really. It was up to the fact that they had one of their best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in Cincinnati history. Desmond Ritter's gone. I don't know how you put Cincinnati at 10, but maybe it's because they're not going to have as tough of a schedule playing out of the AAC. But Baylor, like I said, 12. Oklahoma State is 19. I thought that was low, like I said. But
Cincinnati's a school that you could argue why being in a conference might be better. Because this is a school that's dominated a conference for a significant period of time.
Yes.
And you have to wonder, because there are some people that touted that horn for BYU. You know, be the dominant force in the Mountain West Conference. And be that team, you know, be the Boise State, be the Cincinnati, and that may be the fastest and best road for you to end up as a Power 5 school, and it happened for Cincinnati.
So let's get to this top 10 players in the Pac-12 list that he also put together, because this one's more fascinating.
As I've looked through this a couple of times, this is an interesting list.
Really interesting list. So these are the top 10 players in all of the conference. According to John Wilner, he starts off with number 10, USC quarterback Caleb Williams. I think that most people would say, oh, wow, especially because now, here's the thing, though. He puts USC at number 11, but then he puts their quarterback at the 10th best player in the conference. He'd have to be up there in the top 3 for me if they're going to make the type of impact to put them at number 11 in the AP poll to start things off, but that's just me.
Yeah, but if you look at who's also in the top 10.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oregon defensive end Brandon Dorlus, number 9. Washington State edge rusher Ron Stone Jr., put Brandon Dorlus and Ron Stone Jr. down for guys that you probably didn't hear of until just now said it.
These are great players.
I know they are, but I'm just saying that they're not guys that are household names. Number one, Washington State's not going to be anywhere near the mix of being a Pac-12 champion this year, but you're going to have guys like that.
They may.
UCLA tailback Zach Charbonnet.
Who had an excellent year a year ago.
Really good.
A lot of people think he's the top back in the actual Pac-12.
Now here we go. Here comes the first Utah player on the list at number 6. If you were to tell me that it was Clark Phillips III, I would say, okay.
Yes.
But it's not. Utah quarterback Cam Rising, number 6 on the list. Right where he needs to be, Scott, or under or overrated?
Way underrated.
So you'd put him up higher.
I think Cam Rising is one of the top 3 players in the Pac-12. End of discussion. Not even close. Yeah. I'd put him ahead of Clark.
He's number 6. Washington edge rusher Zion Tuipulotu-Fatui is number 5. Cal defensive tackle Brett Johnson's number 4. Utah cornerback Clark Phillips III is number 3 on the list. Too high, too low? Scott, where do you put him? Underrated, overrated?
Might be a little high.
Okay. Not taking anything away from him.
No.
But there you go. Number 2 on the list, and I think this is deserved because this is the guy who won the best wide receiver award in the country last year.
Yes.
He's a transfer, but he was the best wideout in the entire country last year. Jordan Addison coming from Pitt over to USC. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. No, USC receiver Jordan Addison. Oh, he didn't take money?
No.
Sorry. All right. And then number 1, local flavor on this one too, Orem High School grad, Noah Sewell out of Oregon is the number 1 player on John Wilner's list for the Pac-12. Oregon linebacker Noah Sewell. Is that overrated, or are you okay with that? And you and I both are pretty high on Noah Sewell, but it's hard to put a linebacker at the top of a list when you have guys like Jordan Addison, Cam Rising, and some of these offensive production guys, but well deserved in terms of being a freakish talent.
I mean, I don't know if John Wilner is just trying to spread this out or whatever, but Caleb Williams is a he's an amazing talent. Cam Rising, amazing talent. And I think both of those guys are probably way too low on the list. And nothing against Noah Sewell, because, I mean, he's a guy that makes plays. He's a guy that's, definitely a talent in the Pac-12. And he's a guy that's going to go in the NFL. And, I mean, he'll be a great player, great motor. He's a football player's football player. And so, is he the very best player in the Pac-12? Yeah, I don't know. I just watching film from a year ago, Cam Rising had a phenomenal year. He really did. And it's just hard for me. And maybe I'm biased. Maybe I don't think I am in analyzing all of this. I just have a hard time. This is the team that won the Pac-12 championship. And he was a big, big part of it. And his ability to both pass and run the football was huge for Utah a year ago. And like I said the other day, I mean, Utah won because of its offense a year ago, and it won because of Cam Rising. Plain and simple. I can't see him at 6. I just can't. But I'm not the one picking this list. It's John Wilner.
So
who I think does things he's pretty in the know. He's pretty dialed into
things.
He's
a West Coast guy, though. I mean,
you can see by his top 25, it's got a West Coast bias to it. I'm just glad that in his Pac-12 best players, he didn't have a player from another conference. That's all I'm really concerned with. But you have two players from Utah, you have two players from USC, two players from Oregon. You got a Washington player, a Cal player. The interesting thing, there's nobody from Stanford on that list.
That's kind of a tough deal, right? That's one of those things that
it kind of
shows where they're at right now.
Well,
right?
No, the spoils go to the team that has the victors get the spoils, and the top teams recently in the Pac-12 have been Oregon, Utah. I mean, USC's been up there. So
if it wasn't Stanford, would David Shaw be gone?
I would think so.
Like, that's an institution that goes, this guy gets what Stanford's about.
He really does. He's
and so they kind of keep him along for that. And he's had certainly a lot of success while he's been there. But there's that part two where you go, hey, man, at some point, let's look into something.
Stanford's
here.
Just hard. It's just it's so hard to recruit there today. And then we were enlightened in how challenging it is for NIL, how challenging it is for the transfer portal. I mean, they've had like one guy come in to, a lot of guys leave. I don't know about a lot. I mean, a lot of guys don't leave Stanford. Why would you want to leave a Stanford? They just don't.
It is tough. You know, Houston Haymule is one of those guys out of BYU that, like, he's a Stanford grad, and that might be the most important, you know, kind of note next to his name that he's going to have the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But he left there because of football for his grad, for to be able to have a grad transfer year. I mean, he's going to have a much better football situation this season. Aside from the fact that this is his home state, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I went back and watched some of Houston's film when he was in high school at Bountiful. And he's just an enormous dude now. I mean, he was big back then. He was tough to handle back then. But, I mean, the guy is square-shaped and absolutely scary. And the nicest person you probably will ever meet. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here. We've got much more to go. As always, the program brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars, the preservative-free refrigerated protein bar that will change your life. Let's go.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.